I'm Colby White with DC White Farms in Vernon, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
At West Texas A&M in Canyon, students in the university's Collegiate Farm Bureau chapter are getting ready to host a special event for students with disabilities. I'm James Hunt, and we'll talk about that on Texas Ag Today.
Your vote and your voice matter. That's the message from Washington, D.C. this week. I'm Jessica Domel, and I'll have more from our nation's capital coming up on Texas Ag Today.
The latest quarterly grain stocks report and its impact on domestic supply and demand. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and I'll have more on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Carrie Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. Texas is enjoying one of the best wheat crops we've had in a long time. BASF agronomist Adam Hickson in Lubbock says he's seeing some very good wheat in his area.
I've done some travels across my territory, went up into Oklahoma a few days ago. Yeah, the wheat looks really, really good, had some really good moisture, timely, I would say, rainfall and moisture this winter into early spring.
But wheat tends to turn around quickly if you don't protect it.
I'm seeing some stripe rust out there, and stripe rust can be extremely aggressive. If you even see a start of rust in your wheat, definitely recommend treating it with a fungicide and protecting that yield potential that's out there. And we're talking about some fields that are 60 plus bushel wheat, and that's amazing for our area.
The latest Texas crop progress and condition report shows Texas wheat rated 48% good to excellent, 33% fair, and 19% poor to very poor. USDA is now accepting nominations from farmers who would like to serve on the United Sorghum Checkoff Program board.
There is one spot open for a Texas farmer this year. U.S. sorghum farmers who own or share ownership and risk of loss of sorghum production are eligible for nomination. Interested farmers must be nominated by a certified producer organization. A list of producer organizations and a nomination application are available on sorghumcheckoff.org. That is sorghumcheckoff.org. The nomination deadline is May 3rd. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Cotton planting nationwide now stands at 8% done. That's right on pace with the five-year average, according to USDA's Mark Brusberg.
Some states are off to a little bit of an early start. Some are lagging. For example, Texas has 13% of their crop planted. They average about 14%. And if you go to the far west, some of the irrigated areas, Arizona is leading the nation with 25% planted. They're normally about 30% planted. But again, they can make that up really quickly.
Brusberg mentioned cotton planting here in Texas now standing at 13% done. Corn planting in Texas now 63% complete. Sorghum planting at 51% done, while Texas rice planting stands at 63%. Students in the West Texas A&M Collegiate Farm Bureau chapter are preparing to hold a special event for students with disabilities. James Hunt reports from Canyon.
Coming up on Saturday, April 27th, students in the Collegiate Farm Bureau chapter at West Texas A&M University are hosting an event called Beyond the Barn. What Beyond the Barn will be is a stock show designed for students with disabilities. One of the organizers of the event is George Graybill. He says the event will allow the students to see many facets of agriculture.
We're going to have booths that'll have like corn and wheat there that kids can come and play with, you know, wheat, raw wheat, corn, and cotton. We are going to have the Texas Farm Bureau Doors to Agriculture. It's a big trailer that's interactive and you can go play with it and learn things like how much milk is produced by a dairy cow, how much cotton is produced by a cotton plant, what cotton used for, things such as that. And then we'll have horses. We're hoping to have rabbits there, some pigs, and then sheep and goats that the kids can come and interact with. And then, of course, they will be showing the sheep and goats if they want to participate in the stock show part of it, where they can have the more hands-on show style in the show ring, showing the animals in front of a judge.
Once again, that was George Graybill, a Collegiate Farm Bureau member and an ag science major at West Texas A&M. Beyond the Barn is an event for students with disabilities ages 12 and up. The event is free and will take place on Saturday, April 27th at the Bain Event Center on the WT campus in Canyon. To learn more about the event, you can find the official West Texas A&M news release online by searching with the words Beyond the Barn, West Texas A&M. That's Beyond the Barn, West Texas A&M. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Texas farmers and ranchers are meeting with lawmakers in Washington, D.C. Jessica Domel is on that trip and has this report.
The votes and the voices of farmers, ranchers, and rural Texans matter and can make a difference. That was one of the messages to Texas farmers and ranchers in Washington, D.C. this week from Kellyanne Conway, political consultant, pollster, and senior counselor to former President Donald Trump. We met with Conway before she addressed a group of more than 250 farmers and ranchers on Texas Farm Bureau's National Affairs and Awards trip.
It is an absolute delight to be here to address the Texas Farm Bureau in Washington, D.C., and I'm so pleased that they're here in the nation's capital to stand up and speak up and put up and show up and go and talk to those legislators and both chambers from both sides of the aisle and to bring to bear their issues front and center and say, don't forget us, ranchers and farmers in Texas and beyond. We are the heart and soul of this nation. They should say we are concerned about disaster assistance, the farm bill, certainly trade policies, the border, you name it. I know that they've got their hands in, and I'm thrilled to be here. My message for them tonight is our presidential elections are not decided by millions of votes across an entire nation, but they're decided by thousands of votes across a handful of states. And to make sure that people understand one person, one vote under the Constitution is the true essence of our democracy and our constitutional republic. It means that we're all the same, shoulder to shoulder, but that doesn't happen if we don't vote. I'm not a big fan of early voting per se. I think early voting is 6:30 a.m. on November 5th. But if that's the new normal in many places and spaces, then we have to acclimate to it and get a little bit better feeling comfortable to vote before Election Day.
And Conway had a message to those who think their vote and their voice don't count.
So many people are what I refer to as conscientious objectors when it comes to voting. They don't think their vote counts. They don't think nobody's listening to them. It doesn't matter anyway. And some of them, frankly, increasingly want to send a message to the politicians, to the powers that be, that I so disrespect the process and what you're doing and not doing in Washington that I'm not even going to satisfy you or encourage you with my vote. My message to them is very plain and simple. You matter, which means your vote matters. And to not cast your vote means to not express and raise your voice. And this is your choice and your voice. Our elections are decided at the margins. And when I look at the thousands of people, district by district, who didn't vote, who are disappointed in the outcome, you just want to say to them, but all it took was 20 minutes, an hour out of your day to make things different. There's a cost and a consequence to voting. There's a cost and a consequence to not voting. Even the people who say, I hate politics, I say to them, I can understand that, but you don't have to love politics to know that politics is a means to an end, and the end is policy, the policy outcomes, the substance. We know that when you say I hate politics, you don't mean I don't care what happens to our farmers and ranchers or the farm bill or trade with foreign nations. I don't care who runs our schools and what is taught there. I don't care if gas and groceries are sky high forevermore. We care about all of that and more. So politics is just a means to the end, and your vote is your voice. Don't lose it.
That was Kelly Ann Conway. We'll have more from Washington, D.C. on our next show as farmers and ranchers meet with lawmakers to discuss issues like the Farm Bill, trade, and disaster assistance. From Washington, D.C., for the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
USDA released the latest World Agricultural Supply and Demand Report last week. Tom Nicoletti takes a look at the report.
How did grain stock reports from March affect the U.S. Department of Agriculture's April take on domestic commodity supply and demand estimates? Here is USDA's chief economist, Seth Meyer.
The market's already absorbed a lot of those things where we might say on the balance sheet, we might make some changes to disappearance because of what we saw in grain stocks. So there aren't in that regard, there are adjustments in the balance sheet, but they may not be surprises of adjustments in the balance sheet and not huge. We can see overall in all the crops adjustments in terms of continued pace, either from what we're seeing in stocks and disappearance. So, for instance, rice, we might see smaller consumption numbers domestically, but we've also seen a pickup in export numbers for rice as well.
USDA's latest World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate incorporated data from last month's quarterly stocks report into the domestic balance sheets. Also included was information from the quarterly Hogs and Pigs report. Mark Jekanowski is chairman of the World Agricultural Outlook Board. He offers examples of how the latest grain stock reports are impacting domestic supply and demand in April.
We reduced our U.S. wheat import forecast by 5 million bushels. Again, pretty small adjustment, mainly based on slower pace of HRW imports. And we reduced our feed and residual use by 30 million bushels. When you add that all through the balance sheet, we end up with 25 million more bushels in ending stocks this month than we had been reporting last month. That would be up about 128 million bushels year over year. We raised our feed and residual use by 25 million bushels.
I'm Tom Nicoletti for the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
The food and agriculture sector is making huge economic contributions to our state and to our country. The 2024 Feeding the Economy report has details. I'm Gary Joyner, and I'll have that story on Texas Ag Today.
And botflies are common in all Texas horses. Veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd has more on that coming up.
These stories, plus a look at the markets, are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
If you're a Texas farmer or rancher with an unreimbursed loss from the recent wildfires, you can apply for assistance from the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Unreimbursed losses include but are not limited to livestock, feed, fences, and equipment. Additional expenses such as temporary pastures will also be considered. Completed applications must be submitted by May 31st to your local county Farm Bureau office or directly to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. For more details, go to texasfarmbureau.org.
He always wanted to be a rodeo clown, but he had to settle for being a radio clown. Here's Kerry Martin with more Texas Ag Today.
The food and agriculture sector is making huge economic contributions to our state and our country. Gary Joyner tells how.
America's food and agriculture sector is a thriving, integral component of the U.S. economy. The 2024 Feeding the Economy report shows the economic output of the sector growing by more than $1 trillion since the 2023 report. The food and agriculture sector in Texas is also an economic driver, according to the study. Food and agriculture support 4.5 million Texas jobs and are responsible for $860 billion of the state's economic activity. The economic fuel begins in the rich soil of America's farms and ranches, covering 2 out of every 5 American acres. Meanwhile, millions of food scientists, production workers, logistics experts, truck drivers, and engineers work in more than 200,000 food manufacturing, processing, and storage facilities to keep our food supply chain strong and fresh, safe food readily available worldwide. The Feeding the Economy report is in its eighth year. It is a historic farm-to-fork economic impact study that helps to estimate the direct and indirect economic contributions of the food and agriculture industries on jobs, wages, economic output, and business taxes.
I'm Gary Joyner for Texas Ag Today.
Bot flies are common in all Texas horses. Dr. Bob Judd says treatment of them should be part of an overall parasite control program.
Most horse owners commonly see yellow bot fly eggs on the legs of their horses in warm weather. And horses lick them, which causes the eggs to hatch, and then larvae are swallowed into the stomach. There are also some bot flies that deposit their eggs around the head and mouth. Once swallowed, the larvae attach to the non-glandular portion of the stomach. Although looking at the horse's stomach with these stomach bots attached makes you think they would cause pain and all kinds of stomach problems, most studies have shown these parasites are not of clinical importance and do not cause disease in the horse. However, some larvae have been shown to hatch on the skin and burrow into the skin, causing a dermatitis with hair loss and draining tracts, and this is common on the face and around the lips. The common antiparasitic medications that most veterinarians use for routine deworming, like moxidectin and ivermectin, will kill the bots in the horse's stomach. However, Pyrantel and fenbendazole are unlikely to kill these parasites. Over the last 40 years, we have used ivermectin to deworm horses routinely for important parasites, and it took care of the bots in the stomach. However, now we are recommended targeting deworming and deworming less and less due to resistance to parasites that is developing. And although the deworming recommendations are to deworm much less frequently, some deworming will be required at least twice a year, and products should be chosen that will kill bots. Again, ivermectin and moxidectin will kill bots and should be used on most horse farms.
I'm veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd. This is the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
If you're a Texas farmer or rancher with an unreimbursed loss from the recent wildfires, you can apply for assistance from the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Unreimbursed losses include but are not limited to livestock, feed, fences, and equipment. Unreimbursed additional expenses such as temporary pastures will also be considered. Completed applications for assistance must be submitted by May 31st to a local county farm bureau office or directly to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. For more details, go to texasfarmbureau.org.
Sometimes you love them, sometimes you cuss them. Here's a look at the markets on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how the markets wrapped up on Thursday. We saw cattle futures trade both sides of unchanged. On the close, we finished it out higher. Live cattle slightly higher with the April contract up 27 cents, 181.17. June up a nickel, 175.37. August live cattle up 75, 173.52. Bigger gains on the feeder cattle, with April feeders up $1.17, 241.60. May up 227, 242.55. August feeder cattle up 217 at 254.30. Cash fed cattle sales still quiet for the week. Feedlots are asking 185 and better this week here in the Southern Plains, but the packers only bidding 180. We'll have to wait and see how things shake out. Boxed beef was lower, choice down 71 cents, 296.10. Select down $1.50, 289.38. Now let's check the auction barns. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
My guest is Henry Pickett. He sells cattle and sheep and goats in Abilene. Cattle every week. He's got a sheep and goat sale coming up this next week. Right now, Henry, tell us how the cattle sale went on Tuesday.
Oh, it was pretty good. We ended up with 600 total cattle. We had about 130 cows. So we had some really nice pairs that went back to the country. They were anywhere from 2,500 to 3,000. It looked like the hardest hit on the market might have been these 8 and 850 weight yearlings. They were were probably off another $5 to $6 a hundred. Light calves still had strong demand. You know, we had some 350 to 4 1/4 weight cattle still bringing over $3. So, but we're starting to see a lot of new crop calves. So I think this market will continuously go down for a little bit longer.
Good. Do you know of anything for this next Tuesday for Abilene?
We've got two deals coming in that we know of. There's supposed to be a load of middle-aged cows, part of them bred and part of them pairs. And then we've got a pretty good group of ranch calves, probably weighing 4 to 5, be steers and heifers both mixed.
Good. Well, tell everybody how to get a hold of you for that next Tuesday sale in Abilene.
Well, here at the barn, we can be reached at 325-673-7865. And my cell number is 940-733-8208. And this Saturday, we're having our sheep and goat sale, starts at 11 o'clock.
Good deal. How many do you think you'll draw?
Oh, 200 to 300. Everybody's right in the middle of lambing and kidding right now. So, you know, we're just getting the odds and ends.
My name's Larry Marble. His name is Henry Pickett. He sells cattle and sheep and goats in Abilene. And we do this every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. Good day.
Thank you, Larry. Back over to the futures market now. Orlean hogs finished lower. May hogs down 20 cents, 94.72. June down 2 at 102.70. Class 3 milk finished higher. April milk up 10 cents, 15.57 a hundredweight, with May milk up 20, 17.42 a hundred. The collapse continues in the cotton market. Another day of sharply lower prices. We broke below that 80-cent level on several contracts over the last couple of days, and that caused a lot of speculators just to throw in the towel and abandon their long positions. That just seems to create a snowball effect. May cotton down 146 points, 78.10. July down 72 at 80.61. New crop December cotton down 113 points, 77.41. Corn closed lower. We're near the lowest prices we've seen in about a month now. Traders continue to watch the Argentine corn harvest. It's now about 15% done. Also watching Brazil's Safrina corn crop as they head toward drier weather. May corn dropped 3.5 cents, closing at 4.26 3/4. July corn down 4 3/4, 4.36 1/4. With September corn down 4 3/4, 4.45 a bushel. Wheat was mixed, mostly higher. Hard wheat gaining the most, with May Kansas City wheat up 4.5, 5.77 1/4. July up 6 1/4, 5.75 1/4. July Chicago wheat up 3/4, 5.53 a bushel. In the energy markets, May natural gas up 3 cents at $1.74. May West Texas crude oil up a nickel, 82.74 a barrel. The financial markets mixed, with the Dow up 22 points, 37,775. The NASDAQ down 81, 15,601. The S&P down 11 at 5,011. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A, Texas agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.